Morning, we're going to look at Psalm
19. And I'm not, you can
19,
say, ooh, that's judgmental. No, it's,
we
I don't know, maybe it's God-mental.
Last
right?
Psalm,
lining it up with the Bible.
We sing as a congregation.
Because the Bible says, if you love God, you keep his commandments.
Bible,
so you're not keeping his commandments, you hate
about
God.
We're going to be looking at a couple
it's that
of verses
simple.
In Psalm 19.
You're not
Psalm
keeping
19,
his commandments,
one,
you don't love
two.
Him.
As always,
it's like some child being in your home and he's disobedient and he's rebellious and he says, oh, mommy, I love you. No, he doesn't.
Gets loose,
he doesn't love you. He would keep your commandments in your home and in the same way.
All right, but
in God's family,
if you can keep those off. But Psalm 19,
we're
going to look at verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God.
The Bible says, and obeying him, guess what? The statutes of the Lord, they're right. And what do they do? When I obey God, I'm happy.
As a saved person, we're going
I'm rejoicing. And some of you, man, you're bitter. You're angry.
At night, looking
you're
at
depressed.
The moon and the stars. So the heavens
you're down.
Declare the glory of God.
Why?
The firmament showeth his handiwork.
You're a disobedient
day,
child.
Speech, night unto night.
Because when you keep
knowledge.
His commandments,
there is no
the Bible
speech,
says the statutes of the Lord, they're right. And they
heard.
Rejoice your
so
heart.
It's saying no matter what
it's
nationality, what language.
That?
When
internal.
You go and you look at the stars or
see
you go out
Spurgeon
in a day,
this.
It doesn't matter where you're
understand
at on this earth.
Understand that
the heavens
Spurgeon
and the earth,
was 150
they all
years
speak the
ago.
Same
so
language.
When I'm
they
reading
declare,
this,
what
it does sound
what,
old
what language
because
are they
it
talking?
Is.
It's the language of God.
Understandest thou what thou
glory.
Readest?
There's no speech nor language where
the
their voice is not heard.
Flit
their
over
line
the
has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them
he
has set a tabernacle.
But look at
the
bees.
Then we go down.
They
to verse
drive
7,
into the bells of the flower. They come forth
right,
with their legs laden
the
with pollen and filled
the
with the sweetest honeys for their hives.
And then notice in verse 7, what does it tell us? The law of the
and
Lord
then this is, what Spurgeon
is
says.
Perfect.
This is the way
converting
to read
the soul.
Your Bible.
The testimony
get into
of the
flowers
Lord is sure,
of Scripture.
Making
plunge
wise,
into the inward
simple,
meaning
and, down,
and get all
10,
the secret sweetness
the
which
desired.
The Lord hath put there for your
more
spiritual
more to be desired
nourishment.
Are they. And what is they referring to?
John Newton
referring
said this. I have many
verses
books.
7 and 8
that I cannot
and verse 9,
sit down to read.
And in 7 and
they
8
are
and 9,
they are
the
indeed
word of
good
God
and they are sound, but like halfpence, there goes a great quantity
called
the law of the
Lord.
There are silver
7,
books and very few golden
through,
books, but I have one book more than
verse 8,
all.
It's the statutes of the Lord,
the Bible.
Verse 8, the
and
commandment
the book
of the Lord.
Of
verse 9, the fear of the Lord.
What
and
did
verse
John
9,
Newton
the
find out? What did Spurgeon find
so
out? That if they dive into the Word of God,
the thing,
it rejoices the heart.
The Word of God.
That's why
so in
Jeremiah
10,
15,
says,
Jeremiah said, thy words were found,
they.
And
what
I did
they?
Eat them,
the word of
and
God.
Thy word was unto
more
me the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
God than gold, yea, than much
what?
Fine
why
gold,
aren't you rejoicing?
Sweeter also than honey.
Maybe you're not in the word of God.
And the honeycomb.
The statutes
moreover,
of the Lord,
by them
right,
as thy servant
and they warned.
Rejoice the heart.
What is them?
Let's
that's
go to our
word
next
of God.
One here.
And in keeping
look
of verse
them,
8,
there is great
still
reward.
7
who can
and 2
understand
of them, there's
the
law of the
Lord,
from secret
the
false.
Testimony of the Lord.
Then
look
at verse
8,
14.
The statutes of
let
the Lord.
The
and then,
halfway through,
the
commandments the
of
the
my
Lord.
Heart.
What are they?
Acceptable
pure.
In
and what do they do?
O Lord,
they enlighten
my strength,
the eyes,
and my Redeemer.
Look at verse 9.
One
the
man
fear
put
of the
this
Lord.
Way,
that's
though
a,
the cover
they're using
worn,
that as an indication of Scripture. Remember, all these terms are terms for Scripture. For the law
yet
of the
more
Lord,
precious than gold, is
right?
That
the testimony of the
old,
Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord,
this
and now the fear of the Lord. What is it? It's
to my
clean.
Side. It will lighten and brighten my way.
Enduring forever.
And each promise I find.
So let's understand that the Bible is compared to the fear of the Lord.
And heed it.
In the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Great losses and crosses be mine. For I
so where do
despair,
I begin to understand about God?
While possessing,
according to this, the fear of the Lord
divine.
Is right here at the Word of God.
Let's open in
I start
Father,
understanding right here in the Bible.
Psalm,
and guess what the Bible
Psalm
says?
19.
The fear of the Lord, it's clean. It's
help
good for you,
look
in
at
essence.
The Word of God itself.
It'll clean you up. It'll make
Lord,
you right. It'll make
it
you pure.
Void.
And guess what the Bible says?
New
the fear
Testament
of the Lord is
and
clean, and it's enduring
is, it's
forever.
Alive.
Most
it's
of
powerful.
You are old enough to
Lord,
understand
it can cure
different things. In
into
fact,
our soul.
I was at a hotel
it can show
on
us
Thursday
what we
night.
Really are.
And so Friday Lord, morning, I was sitting down there, and there were some boys sitting there.
We pray that it would become more precious.
They were on there. I mean, they were probably nigh unto a decade.
Need you claim your power.
Old.
That means Jesus' 10. Name.
All right, but they were nigh unto a decade old. And so they were sitting there, and there was, I think, an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, 10-year-old. And they're sitting on their phones, and I looked down at their pants.
Items. And so they go around and they tell people to bring items from their attics,
they
their basements.
Cool.
Sometimes it's
and they
from
were
a
looking
garage
at
sale,
me, they're eyeing me a little bit,
thinking, wow.
And they undervalue these things. And so the antique roadshow.
But I was looking at them, and I looked at their pants, and I thought,
wow.
Valuable.
I had
things.
Those.
Sometimes
it's
when
not
I was so
eight.
Valuable, they find out that it's just a piece of junk.
I mean, they could have just asked me.
Thought that it was.
I probably have them in an archive
in
a museum somewhere. I
could have
pulled them out of a museum
that was just
hidden
away, or they got at a very reasonable price.
They're so right there.
So they're so happy.
Well, I believe
because you know what,
the Bible
is undervalued. They come.
I believe the Bible is one of those things that we just kind of put on our shelves, and we don't understand how valuable this Bible is that we have.
It comes
each and every day.
All right, there's a lot of different things
we have with us. The Bible and Samuel said this: the word of the Lord was precious in those days.
Forever.
In this passage, forever. In Psalm. O Lord, thy word
or
is
actually
settled.
In Psalm 119, it says the law of
this
his
is
mouth is more precious
that I can
to
bank
me than
on.
Thousands of pieces
all,
of silver.
You may not understand.
And,
some of you are older now, and man,
more to
you,
be desired
I would
are
recommend
they
not looking at your
gold.
Investments daily.
Yea, then much
oh,
fine
that'll
gold.
Depress you.
That'll
so
get
here
you
in
down.
This passage, we're going to look quickly at
you know
the first part and the
this
first
right
six
here.
Verses. We have two megaphones that are yelling out about the glory of the Lord. So what is the first megaphone that is shouting out
there
about
been,
the Lord?
There have
look
been
at
people
verse 1.
That have
it's very
dedicated
easy
their
to see.
Whole
the
life
one
and
is
destroying
the
Bible.
Worlds
and they're dead.
He made.
And this is
by the worlds that God has made. It's a
there
megaphone
been,
yelling
there
out
there have been nations
that, God
that have
glorious,
tried
that
to
God
destroy
mighty,
this book.
That God is marvelous.
There have been
look
nations,
what it says. The heavens declare
we talk about
the glory
it.
Of God
our,
and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Come
the
to
heavens
our
declare
here,
the glory of
he
God.
He was saved in
the
South Korea
and
the
sun
raising
support
God.
To go to China.
The sun is 93
he's going
million
to China.
Miles
and guess what? In China,
it's composed of hydrogen.
They get the word of God.
And helium.
It's a fireball.
And they say, we don't want the word of God. Even in Russia,
generated
we don't want
by
the word of God.
But you know what?
Russia, reactions.
The word
it
of
produces
God
10 million megatons
of God
energy
there.
Per second.
Even in North Korea.
I have no idea what
with,
that just meant.
Nungjung Fool.
Right? Some of you, you're
right,
like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you have no idea either. But
right?
it produces
but
10 million
even him,
million
he can do
megatons.
Whatever he wants, but
it
guess what happens?
It sounds like there's a lot of energy
there.
And that's every second, 10 million
guess
megatons.
What, the word of God?
It's if
forever.
It were a little larger,
it
its gravity
forever.
Would pull
look
us
at
into it.
The other thing,
a little
last
smaller,
thing here,
and we
the fear
drift
of the Lord
off
is clean,
into space,
enduring forever. The judgments
if it were hotter,
of the Lord are
we'd burn
true
up.
And righteous.
If it was colder,
we'd
all
freeze.
So what
and
is
here,
this megaphone?
That's just
what
does
this
one
megaphone do
part
for
of this universe.
Just
look what
the sun,
does.
And we look at it. It's
soul.
Out today. We glory in that.
The sun.
That's when we walk outside and it's 30-something degrees, but at least we have the
heart.
Sun. And you
it
go out there and you look
eyes.
At that, 93 million miles
forever.
Away, and yet
it
does still look pretty big. And if I'm sitting there in that direct sunlight,
so
it can warm me up.
It more?
And God just spoke
do you have
it.
Something more valuable?
Oh,
God just spoke some of those things into existence.
That money.
And that is
the money you
a
have.
Testament.
That is
oh,
a
so
testifying
you,
a testifying attribute or a testifying element that's out there that says, hey,
eyes?
God is
forever?
Glorious.
Does it lead to righteousness?
God is mighty.
We know it
God is powerful. And as you go
well,
out
yet,
in the nighttime and you look up into the stars, right? Sometimes if you're in the city, you don't see that too much.
All right,
with all that
say, oh,
artificial
no,
light, you look out and
so,
you can barely see it. But man, you go out into the
Bible
country and you see all of those stars.
Or were you more concerned about this?
And those stars,
of you
many
know
of those
answer.
Stars, they say,
and you know
they're,
why
they're much farther than the sun.
You know why?
And many of those stars are much bigger.
You know why
when
than
it comes
sun.
To making decisions in
just,
your life? You know,
yeah,
a little speckle
they're pretty
out there.
Stupid.
And it's thousands
why?
And thousands, and then they get these telescopes and they look farther and they look farther and they look farther, and all of that.
And God's
God just
word
said, stars
last forever.
And they were
it
there.
It leads to righteousness. Blessed
all
Bible,
of those testify
sacred treasure
to the glory and the precious book
of our God.
Of all the best.
There is comfort
you can
never
see
failing
the,
in a calm abiding
rest. You can
read it
look
with
at
reverence
these
and
different things that are
verse
out there.
Verse and day by day.
And it helps us understand
about our God.
The psalmist compares the Son to a bridegroom and to
this
a runner.
Book, the Bible is the mind of God.
The way of
it's,
salvation.
It's saying the,
its
that the creator of the universe
its
is intelligent,
true,
is powerful,
and its decisions are immutable.
Read it to be wise.
It gives us general
it to be
information
safe,
about
practice
God.
It to be holy.
It contains
you know
light
what?
To direct
the
you, food to support you,
doesn't
and comfort to cheer you.
Tell me how I can.
It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's
when
compass,
I look out at the sun,
soldier's
it
sword,
tell me
and the
how
Christian's
I can
character.
Saved. It doesn't.
Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and
so
the gates
how
of hell disclosed.
Saved?
Christ is
suppose
its grand
you find
subject.
A box
our good is its design, and the glory of God
made
is
up of thousands and
it
thousands
fill the
of
memory.
Pieces. Rule the heart.
But opening up the box, only 20 pieces were there.
Read it slowly.
You could tell from those people or those pieces that this was
a
beautiful picture and that picture was painted by a gifted artist.
A river of pleasure.
You could maybe see some
follow
swirls of color
and you
could
see
a little bit of the lines of design.
Precepts
but most
the
of the pieces
tomb.
Are missing.
Follow its precepts
if it's a thousand,
to a resurrected life
puzzle,
Christ,
a thousand piece
and
puzzle and I only have 20 of them, I only get a
and
little picture.
God's megaphone.
I need the other
the
pieces
worlds he made
to put it together.
But most important,
what if the puzzle had 31,102
pieces
this morning?
Say, wow, that's pretty specific.
There's a reason.
Is it valuable to you?
There's another
have you
box.
Neglected it this
or there's
past
another
week?
Megaphone. It contains 31,102
verses in gold.
Heads bowed.
When
eyes
you open
closed.
The box of the Bible and you study those 31,102 pieces, all of a sudden, everything falls into place.
This morning.
You see, there is a megaphone, and it's
here.
The worlds that God has made. And the
and
worlds that God has made,
Jesus
they
Christ
testify to God's glory. But as I look at God's glory,
about the
I still
the
maybe
Lord
have some questions.
Being able to convert the soul.
And so I have to go to another megaphone.
And it's the Word of God.
Say, I didn't speak a lot.
You know, there's a discussion that's
salvation.
Out there, and it's called the two-book
but
theory.
Be here this morning.
We don't necessarily get it too much to
Jesus
the two-book
Christ
theory. A theory.
What that
they say that there's the book of nature, and there's the book of God, the Word
that
of God.
You can't pay for
the two-book theory.
But Jesus
and,
the,
and they say that Scripture and nature have a common
and
author.
It's a gift.
And
but
so that I can actually go to science then.
Admit that you have sinned.
And I can
and you
find
must
God.
Accept that Jesus Christ died for you.
I
you
don't
can't
see
do
that
it on your own.
You can't.
And
get
so
your,
then there's actually the Christian scientists. You
have
Scientology.
Ideas,
you have some of these religions
God's
that are built on science.
Said,
and they say
the way,
yes,
the
we need to
the
go
life.
And we need
no
to have science. And there's been
Father,
even some people in the Christian realm that have got really confused, and they say, well, you know what? Science has got to match up, or the Word of God has got to match up with science, and so they kind of twist things. And that's why in Genesis chapter 1 you came up with the theistic evolution, and you come up with the day-age theory. Because you know what?
Morning,
science said this, and you know what? That is very
if
important.
You courage enough
no,
to just slip up your hand
not as
and not
important.
Embarrass you.
But if that's you this morning, you'd say, I've never accepted
Jesus Christ
as my
Savior.
Because what
science has to do is submit.
Anywhere in the auditorium,
to the Word of
I've
God.
Never accepted Jesus Christ. But
because actually, science
God convict you,
is
convict you
really
salvation?
Our interpretation. Of what
if
we
so,
think
would
we
you
know.
Slip up your hand? Is there anybody like that?
All right.
Say,
it's
I've
actually
all right.
So it's
Jesus
actually
Christ
man's ideas
like
and man's wisdom.
Morning.
And every once in a while,
say, I don't,
man
I don't
falls
Jesus.
In line.
But what about
scientifically with God?
Have you
maybe he just kind of like nudges their brain or flicks them really hard, doing a Paul Payton
God
on them like poof,
morning,
right there,
the
flicks them on the back of their head while they're doing their study in their microscope and like.
But the Bible.
Whoa! Look what I found.
You've
and actually, it was just God's, you know, finger just smacking them on the back of the head.
We have an invitation.
They're like, wow, I am so brilliant.
No, you're not.
Tell
no,
God
you're not.
That.
I mean,
you,
you know, actually, look at
the
average scientist. You know what I mean? If you were so brilliant, you would cut your hair.
I
don't know what I mean?
Because you look
things,
like a freak.
Giving it to you.
All right? Or if you were so brilliant, you'd do this or do that. Because, man, some of those guys are just, they're freakazoids. All right? That's another alien life form.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your
But here in our passage, what the Bible is trying to help us understand is there's two megaphones. And the one megaphone is nature. And nature, as we look out at the sun and we look at the stars and we look at the moon and we look at around us, it says, hey, God is glorious and God is great. But I have to go to the second megaphone. And that megaphone is the Word of God. And what does the Bible say about that second megaphone? The law of the Lord is, it doesn't say science is perfect. What does it say? The law of the Lord is perfect. This that you have is perfect. It's something you can rest in. It's something you can trust in. Because, you know, many of us, I may not understand science. I may not understand all about nature. And I say, man, I'm lost. How can I understand that? Oh, I need to have that great guy with a PhD, and he can come and help me. No, that's not perfect. This is. The law of the Lord is perfect. In fact, when you look at the New Testament, this is what you find. The law of the Lord, the Word of God, it can build you. How do I know that? In Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It doesn't say, let the law of nature, let science dwell in you and build you up. No, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to a pastor, the pastor, as we believe, in Ephesus. And what does he tell him? Does he tell him, fill your head with knowledge and get out there and study science and nature? No, he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And listen to what Peter says. So what was Peter just describing? The transfiguration. When he was up there, and what happened? God spoke and Peter heard it. Peter heard it with his own ears. But guess what Peter says to you and I? He heard God personally. But in verse 19, he says, but we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What are you saying, Peter? We have something more sure than God speaking audibly in your ears? Yes. You have the Word of God. This is more sure than Peter hearing God personally. I think Peter believed in the authenticity and the power of the Word of God. He believed that this book is all you need. It's powerful. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place unto the day, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book right here is a megaphone. We have nature, and it speaks to God, and it says, hey, you serve an almighty God, and he's powerful. But you have a more sure word of prophecy, and it's in your hand. It's the Word of God, more precious than gold. In our passage here, we said the first thing, and that was in verse 1. In verse 1, what did we see? We saw that there was a megaphone, and the megaphone was by the worlds he has made. But then, in verse 7, we see the second megaphone, and it's perfect, and it's by the words he has spoken.
There's six things given here, and we'll quickly go through them. Look what it says that the Word of God can do. Look at verse 7, and it's verse 7, 8, and 9. Let's just quickly look at them. 7, look at verse 7. What does the law of the Lord do? By the Word of God, by this Bible, what can it do? The law of the Lord converts the soul. So what can this Bible do? This Bible can change a life. This Bible can change an eternity. It's not my words. It's not some prophet out there that says, hey, I know this or that. It's not some scientist. No, it's God's word right here. It can convert the soul. That's the power of the Word of God. It can convert the soul. There was a warden of a prison in a land that wasn't really friendly to Christians. He was married. He had a family. But his life was one of fear. One day, two men were incarcerated for preaching. And at midnight, they were heard praising the Lord. The warden, sound asleep, was unaware of this late night commotion. But a sudden earthquake flung him from his bed. He found the prison in chaos. The prisoners were free. Ruin and disaster everywhere. And he looked out and he said, what did he say? What must I do to be saved? You know, the power of the Word of God is such that in your disaster, your nightmare, your earthquake, you can come to the Word of God and you can find out how you can be saved. It can convert the soul. And what did they say? They went to the Word of God and they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The Bible is clear. It can convert the soul. So that was our first thing there. Look at the next part of verse 7. What does it tell us? The law of the Lord, it converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord, it's sure. And what does it do? It makes wise the simple. The Bible, one man put it this way, the Bible is a book in which a person may learn from his Creator the art of healthy living. You can be wise and you can, you may say, man, I don't know a lot. I don't have a lot of education. You don't need a lot. Just get in the book. Just get in the book, and the Bible says that you can be wise. The Bible says I can be wise unto salvation. I can learn how to be saved, but I don't just have to, after being saved, the Bible is still there for you. It's there so you can get in the book, and you can understand daily living. You can understand how to get along in life. You can understand how important it is to have a relationship with God, and you're not talking about a God that is impersonal. This God that made the universe, remember the megaphone there, the sun that is out there, that God says, hey, I want to have a personal relationship with you and I will guide you into all truth. That's the God of this book. He makes us wise. He makes wise the simple. Look at verse 8 now. Look at verse 8. So what does the Bible tell us in the first part of verse 8? The statutes of the Lord, they're right. What do? Rejoicing the heart. You know, sometimes you can get down and discouraged. You know what my suggestion to you is? Get in the book. It'll rejoice the heart. It'll bring comfort in trouble. And you notice that, you know, the word statute there, all right, that's another word. Remember the law of the Lord, that was in verse 7. The testimony of the Lord, that's another word for the Bible. And here the statutes of the Lord. What is a statute? You know what a statute is? It's a mandate. It is a commandment. That's what the word statute means. It's a commandment. And so the Bible says, if ye love me, keep my statutes or commandments. If you love, there's a lot of people, and we knock on doors all the time. And in America, I mean, basically, everybody you talk to is a Christian.
And they say, oh, I just love the